Okay, you just use star 6 to mute yourself out. Okay, and we are recording right now. I did turn off the chimes so that we're not bothered by chiming, people coming in late and stuff. So at least that won't be in the recording. So we'll just get started. Good evening, everyone. I'm Kathy Kirk, founder of Applied Spirituality, revolutionary thinker, your teacher and coach. Thanks for being here tonight, and I so honor you that you continue to pursue expanding yourself. Tonight's comments are going to be about making decisions in a new way. But before we get started with that, I have a few housekeeping things to discuss first. Number one, remember that everything here is proprietary information and is protected by copyright. Nothing may be reproduced in any way without expressed written consent. This is a community of friends. The environment is confidential. What is discussed here stays here. Only in an environment of safety will everyone share, and only then can we all benefit from each other's experiences. I continue to hold this space that you will all begin sharing either in the forum or on the calls so that we can have lively, fruitful discussions and begin to take consciousness to a whole new level. The calls are recorded and posted on the coaching downloads page by the next day. In order for us to have a clean recording, please keep your line muted out when you're not speaking or sharing. Use star 6 on your keypad to mute yourself out. And also then star 6 to unmute yourself in order to speak. Also, you might want to head over to the coaching download page. I've got a bonus there. It's a 30-minute bonus interview with David Nagel. He normally coaches people in business, so just to give you a little perspective, to take David Nagel's year-long coaching course is merely $18,000. So I thought it was quite a coup to get 30 minutes of his time. I asked him some pretty interesting questions, which I thought all of you might enjoy. He wasn't able to meet with us on a Sunday evening, so we taped it. All right, so that's everything new for this week. I'm going to get started here on making new decisions. Or making decisions in a new way. This week, I was driving around and I was reflecting on how I continue to realize at deeper levels the truths that I'm teaching you. And the one that caught my attention this week was the idea that we are actually expanding ourselves. Whenever you wish for something or you desire something, you're not so much manifesting that thing or circumstance to like magically appear like a genie thing. Rather, you are actually growing and expanding yourself, your consciousness, and becoming the person that can appreciate that thing or that circumstance. For example, we each have a certain vibrational countenance comprised of how we think and feel about every subject in our lives. We begin our journey with that signature. That's our unique signature, which the universe, of course, has been matching. That's our base point, our platform. From there, we have identified things that we now want: a better relationship, the ability to trust ourselves, more money, better health, a new job, whatever it might be. However, in the baseline vibration, we cannot see nor appreciate the thing we want. It's out of our vibrational range for the moment. The work we set about doing here is releasing the lower vibrating beliefs and expanding our consciousness into the higher ones, where we would then be able to see and appreciate that which we desired. The point to expanding consciousness is not so much to manifest stuff, because all the stuff we want already exists. Others are experiencing complete and perfect health, abundance, good relationships, fantastic jobs, whatever. But those things are simply not available to us until we become and grow matching the vibration. So we become the person who has the great job. We become the person who experiences a great relationship. But we're not actually like magic pulling one out of the hat or pulling one out of the universe and plopping it into our experience. So we're growing ourselves into the being that we desire to be. We are becoming more of who we really are. This idea came to me, like I said, as I was driving, and it's just kind of like the way we grew from third grade to fourth grade. So we're now growing our consciousness into that which is a match to our desires. I know that some of you have expressed to me your feeling of urgency to make decisions on situations that you are now living with or confronting. Should I remain married? Should I leave? Should I stay in my job? Should I go? How do I know what decision to make? Well, the stopgap rule of thumb is that you only make a decision that feels good to you in each moment. So that's the practice I'm hoping that you're practicing every day, is that you're checking in with yourself in each moment and saying, does this feel good? Does this not feel good? Do I feel good? And then you're getting back into alignment, or you're getting the information that this isn't something that I want to do anymore. Or so you're feeling your way through it. You're learning that your feelings are your emotional guidance system, your internal guidance system. But having said that, the first thing to realize is that when you undertake inner work to expand your consciousness and become more of who you really are, everything changes, beginning with the way you are in life and more profoundly, the way you think. This is essential, of course, as we welcome more of our non-physical self into our human mind, everything turns upside down. Our finite human mind has taken us as far as it can. Now we are reaching for our infinite eternal self, and we are learning how to recognize its guidance and information in our literally human physical body and life. When I first began doing this work some 30 years ago, one startling revelation came to me almost immediately, which was that everything that I'd learned as a human was about 180 degrees different from living a life from the inside out. Imagine, 180 degrees different. It's disconcerting. It's as though up becomes down and down becomes up, and the human mind approaches life fanny ass backwards. The human mind approaches life from limitation, lack, and fear. And as such, the human mind has constructed very complex and convoluted methods for getting what it wants. And that usually involves manipulating or working harder or faster, because the human mind believes that it's a doing, not a being. And the human mind seems to believe that others have the power over us, and we don't. So this work, and this is worth writing down and posting it someplace, this work is all about allowing what you need, want, or desire to come into your experience by releasing the resistant thoughts and beliefs that keep them at bay. So this work isn't about getting. It's about allowing what you've already asked for to come in. And the only reason it's not coming in is because we have resistant thoughts. I could say a little bit on the idea of resistance, and I think I'm going to cover this at length next week. But resistance, if you think about it, would be a good metaphor, a good analogy would be a garden hose that's got a kink in it. So if without a kink, the water's flowing through the hose very easily, and that source energy flowing to you absolutely unimpeded. And the kink in the hose then becomes a limiting belief. So all we're trying to do is unkink the hose. We're not trying to do anything more than that, because there's nothing else but well-being. We're just trying to allow ourselves to receive the fullness of it. So what we're remembering here is that we're the only ones that can do that in our experience, and we are the only ones that ever did have the power in our experience. And we're learning that our power is in our focus and in our vibrational signature. So if I go back to the hose, the kink in the hose is a limiting belief that's vibrating at a certain frequency. Okay. Now, as we practice new ways of thought, release old beliefs, and foster new ones that are more freeing ones, then our outer landscape is changing. Different people show up that you absolutely did not have access to before. New opportunities appear, which if they'd smacked you upside the head, you wouldn't have recognized as an opportunity or even a possibility. You didn't have the eyes to see nor the ears to hear. In short, we didn't have the matching consciousness. So literally, we are growing ourselves into the fullness of who we really are, where everything we could possibly want already is. And that is source. That is well-being. There's also nothing on earth that is not a spiritual / energetic / vibrational creation first. So some of our human mind ideas have to fall away, like there's a spiritual way to be in life. Well, everything's a spiritual, energetic creation, everything. So what we're doing is raising the quality of that experience, raising the vibration of it. So there's, let's say, more God content in what we're up to, more quality. But there's nothing on earth that isn't a vibrational creation first before it's a physical manifestation. So that's something to chew on when you're driving. But anyway, whether those things are for us and we decide we want them or not is entirely up to us. And the only way we can determine that is by how it feels, how it feels. This is an emotional journey. This is a feeling journey. And that is our individual, unique internal guidance system communicating with us. What is one person's nirvana is another one's hell. Think about it. Just in the realm of relationships, think about the people you know and how they've paired themselves up. They might seem deliriously happy with each other, and you can't imagine having coffee with that guy or that gal, let alone sleeping with them. It's absolutely marvelous the way the variety and the perfection of the universe and how the law of attraction matches things perfectly. So I started the discussion about decision making. I know you want to know, quote, what to do about certain things, but I cannot tell you what to do, nor can anyone else, because we don't know your unique vantage point, your intentions, your desires, and most importantly, we can't feel where you are or know how you think about things, especially the thing you want to know most about. We are remembering here, all of us, that we are not human doings, we're beings, and that we vibrate. And it is by our vibration that we are attracting to us that which we experience. So we're about the business of changing deliberately how we vibrate, thus leveraging the natural laws to our advantage. What we can do here is help you get back in touch with your capital self, your internal guidance system. We can help you practice feeling your way through these things. Making decisions from the inside out is not hard, and nor is it foreign to you. Largely, you've done it most of your life, but your human mind often took credit for it, using language such as I thought, or I deliberated, or I considered, as if these were activities of the human mind, when mostly we've chosen from gut, unless, of course, our human mind talked us out of that gut decision or that intuitive choice. And that does happen because your gut or your intuition speaks softly. It's not called the still small voice for nothing. And the ego just jumped right over it and yelled louder, and that's usually the one we're listening to, the one that's yelling. So now I know some of you are judging yourselves on past choices, thinking that they were bad. Maybe you think you picked the wrong spouse, or maybe you made some choice while you were married that you're not proud of. This is why we spent a full 4 weeks talking about you are enough in learning to put into place default thoughts of love and acceptance for yourself like you would for any dear friend or your child or your pet, which you love way more unconditionally than you do yourself. So keep doing those exercises without fail. Something else you need to cultivate within yourself is the larger idea that you are non-physical energy here for an adventure and new experiences. So start thinking of yourself as pure life energy, and as such, our essential nature is only freedom and joy. Now, there are plenty of moralistic rules amongst humans that would make such adventures bad and wrong. But the truth is that in the eyes of Source, there is nothing bad or wrong. It's all data, it's all adventure, and it's all information from which we choose our next experience. And that's how we create, and that's how we expand, not just ourselves, but the universe itself. Many people say they have, quote, identified a pattern within themselves. Okay, this is great, because you're seeing that you are the common denominator in all of your experiences. So you're taking, quote, responsibility for your life experiences. But the only purpose in identifying a pattern is so that you can become free of it. And I'll repeat that. You want to become free of a pattern that limits you. Why? Because your true nature is Source energy, which is freedom and joy. That's all. So let's say you've identified the pattern that when you have a relationship, then you cheat. Something inside of you makes you blow up your relationship. These experiences brought you to a new decision point. So what was your new decision point? What now do you desire that you didn't know until you had given yourself this experience? There is no profit in making yourself bad or wrong because of a pattern. The pattern itself is only a clue to the limiting belief. Oftentimes in these scenarios, we think there's a right thing or a wrong thing to want or desire, a right way to behave or a proper growth sequence, or I should be this way or I should be that way. There is not. Are you thinking you shouldn't cheat? Are you thinking there's merit to marriage? Are you thinking you should want to be married? Did you ask yourself why you wanted to be married in the first place? Did you ask yourself whose idea was it? Was it yours or someone else's? Was it society's? Was it religion? Where did that come from? So we have to go back to our journal, and we have to have a dialogue with ourselves, and we begin asking the questions, and we start with, how do I feel right now, and what is it that I want to feel and experience? What experience is it that I do want to have? Now what's my new desire? And then we go about lining up with the new desire. If we stick with the example of someone who's been cheating, thus recognizing that they're blowing up their relationships, some good questions to ask yourself along with what do I do now might be, why ever would I do it to begin with? Why would I do that? You might conduct a long dialogue with yourself. Maybe you're afraid of intimacy. Maybe you equate intimacy with loss of personal freedom. Or maybe it's not that at all. Maybe you bought into the idea of marriage, and it's not something your real self is interested in. Maybe it's not in line with your intentions for this life. Where you can start is always, how do I feel right now, and how do I want to feel? Then you keep asking yourself questions until you hit on the right question for you. What is it do I want? That's usually the big one that we can't answer immediately because we've been focused outward and we've taken our personal identity as that which has been reflected back to us from others. Rather, than from knowing who we really are from within. I'll give you a personal example. I have always been interested in new things, and I've always been pretty good at whatever I tried to do or attempted. I love learning new things, I love having new experiences, and especially if I get to be creative. So as a kid, I tried lots of stuff, oil painting, the clarinet, the piano, gardening, sewing, knitting, crocheting, furniture stripping, painting, all kinds of stuff. I was always busy creating and exploring new things. Now, my family reflected back to me that there was something wrong with me because the minute I mastered something, I dropped it and moved on to something else. For years, I observed this in myself. I loved meeting new people, I loved trying new food, going to new places, having new adventures, yet in the back of my mind was this negative reflection that there was something wrong with me. Yet I was and am happiest when I'm having a new experience or a new thought. I'm happiest when I'm expanding. Until I started doing this work and understood who I really am, I was always trying to make myself stay with things that I didn't enjoy, including a marriage. Who wanted to be known as a quitter, right? Well, whose definition of success was I using? Is there anything wrong with quitting something that is wrong for you? You have to figure out whose belief these were to begin with. Once I began to understand that we are happiest when we flow life through us, when we're having adventures, then I could feel the correctness of that as it related to me. I'm like the kid in the candy store with Life on Earth. I want to see it all. I want to do it all. I want to play with it all. And now that I understand that I'm source energy and that I am freedom and joy, my desire to have new experiences is understandable to me. And I understand that I make people nervous who are afraid to experience new things and believe in staying the course, playing it safe no matter what. So what else did I have to do? I had to learn to discern their discomfort from mine and give up caring what anyone else thought of me. So that's a process. Back to the example of someone cheating within a committed relationship. So are you bad or wrong? No. But what you are at the moment is unaware of why you might keep doing this. And then as you add in what you're feeling and what you really want to feel, the answers to your own questions like why you might have done this, then you begin to tell yourself the truth of who you are, and you become more of that. So maybe you came in with an overriding intention in life to demonstrate freedom in loving relationships. Huh. So you have this deep intention. Then you get hypnotized by the other humans into the rules of love and sex and relationship, and yet you cannot seem to stay true to one person. Now, why would that be? And when you start digging deeper into your true nature, what might your true desire and true intention be? Once you stop making yourself bad and wrong and turn towards your true nature, the answer appears. I'm guessing that you have an extraordinary capacity for love and loyalty, yet you know that it doesn't have to be expressed the way everyone else is doing it. We are all about new experiences. Maybe last time around, you were a devoted spouse and you know all about that. And maybe from that life, you launched a new desire to feel the freedom of being single, yet you want the intimacy. You can, you know, have it all. When you clean out the subconscious basement of limiting beliefs that keep you trapped in the trap of this or that, that's human thinking, either or. And that's a sign that you're in human thought if you're thinking either or. Divine mind is and. It includes all thought. So try this one on if you're thinking about being in a weird situation. Imagine the world 2,500 years ago when Jesus decides to come to the planet. He lands in a place where there's no schools, No one except the priests read. Everyone's illiterate. The holy books are all about vengeance and wrath. And here comes Jesus, whose entire message is about love. Now, do you not think that he had some trouble coming to terms with who he really was and why he was here doing things and being so different than the rest of the humanoids on the planet? Think about it. We're all here at this time on planet Earth for a reason. We wanted to be here. We wanted to be at this point at the Great Awakening. And the only way we could come in as the teachers we were was to choose like some really nifty thing we were going to demonstrate to the rest of the folks to wake them up. So all of you, we're all trying to do is to come back into alignment with ourselves, with who we really are. And geez, you know, what was I thinking? What was I intending for this incarnation before I came in? What did I want to experience more of? If you do the online course in Book 2 in Well Done, there's a really cool section in there that sends you down a path of introspection about remembering what you might have had in mind before you came in for this incarnation. So anyway, back to this whole choice of now what am I supposed to do right here, right now, and make a decision whether you're going to stay married or leave or stay in your job or not. So not so fast, right? You know when you know, and you will know. And then you make those choices because it feels correct and good, and it's in alignment with who you really are. And by now, you love yourself so much that there's no way you're going to make yourself bad or wrong just for being different. Life, evolution, it's all about a process. And when you look out into the world, look at this. America fought the Civil War to free the slaves back in 1864. But we had the Bill of Rights in 1776. And here it is, nearly 2011, and we're still haggling about, oh, please, gay rights. Is this not a process of evolution of consciousness? Until the thinking changes, the forms on Earth don't change. So it is with your own personal creative process and the forms you experience or manifest in your life. If you've been trying to live your life according to someone else's rules, but you came in with an intention to raise consciousness, your life isn't going to look like everyone else's, and you're going to be pretty miserable until you find your own alignment. Your life's going to be full of changes until you've aligned your human mind with what you had in your big mind before you came in. So how do you live in the in-between time? So how do you navigate that? You do that the best you can every moment by telling yourself the truth about how you feel in the moment. And then you convey that the best you can to the others. You have mercy on yourself. You are kind to yourself. You allow yourself room to unfold at your own pace, not theirs. You be your own best pal every step of the way. You start using that internal guidance system every moment. What feels better, this thought or that? Which feels better, this activity or that? When did I stop feeling good? Okay, what was I thinking when it stopped feeling good? Okay, time for a bathroom breathing break and feeling better again. Time to get back into alignment. I have to make a decision then as I feel the decisions, which feels better for me, this or that. Or is there something else? With your intention to be authentically you, living your best life, you begin right where you are, trusting how things feel to you. You stop second-guessing yourself. You remember that what feels good to you, ease, joy, delight, fullness, delicious, these are in alignment, and they're your legacy, and these feelings are your inner being calling you towards your good. You give yourself permission to live in ease, to experience joy, and to do the things that are good for you. When you're not sure and you don't know yet, you say things like, well, it's unfolding. I'll know when I know, and that will be in perfect time. It's my intention to remember. I'm doing the best I can. I'm listening for my guidance. I am paying attention. I deserve to feel good about all my decisions. My good is never at the expense of anyone else's good. I deserve to be happy. I am worthy of love. In fact, I am love itself. So cut yourself some slack. Give yourself a break. This is what I call the time of ambiguity. You abide with yourself in the void. You comfort yourself. You allow. You relax. You give yourself grace, mercy, and love. And you keep moving in this way from the inside out. Obviously, you take steps if you need to keep yourself and your children safe. But remember that any physical step is temporary, supporting you until you have the consciousness of well-being in place. If you're a parent, you're going to go through lots of steps unraveling all the shoulds and oughts until you finally find the truthful place where everyone's good is at play without any self-sacrifice on your part. No, you don't need to stay in a marriage for the kid's sake or his sake or anyone else's sake. These are human ideas that don't believe that well-being can exist for everyone at the same time. But you also know you can't make your choices until you can feel the truth for you, until you have grown your own consciousness and expanded into who you are. We're not advocating you put a Band-Aid on anything, nor can you spout something out of your mouth and execute it if it isn't your truth. For you to align with well-being, to feel the infinite possibilities of the universe, allow yourself grace, and keep choosing new, higher thoughts, growing yourself into the expansion of your new desire to feel the fullness of who you are. So those are my comments this evening about making decisions. We are evolutionary creatures, not revolutionary. Each moment is an expansionary moment. Each new moment in thought is what you created to happen. Don't miss them. Marvel at yourself, marvel at others, and don't be forced into anything that doesn't feel good to you. Making choices that didn't feel good to you is how you've been doing it. There is always another way. In fact, there are infinite ways. Which one do you want? You decide that by how you imagine what you want to feel and experience. Get that journal out and start communicating with yourself. Always. It is an emotional journey first. Okay, that's it for this evening on my comments. So I'm open to any comments or questions about my comments tonight. And while you're screwing up your courage to ask me a question or make a comment, I'm going to get a drink of water. If you want to make comment or ask a question, *6. You have to remember to *6 yourself to unmute yourself. Okay. The focus I want you to go into this week with is that each moment is a new choice point. To think the old way or begin incorporating these new ideas into your new way of being on the planet. Become aware that every moment is a new powerful choice point. I could think something different this time. I could allow myself to expand. I could take a step towards my expanded self and do something differently. I could believe in me. I could think that I'm worthy and good rather than bad and wrong, insufficient or broken. I'm going to stop that thought and reverse it for myself right now. I could say no to someone or something that I've always said yes to and didn't want to. I could make a choice for my good right now I could choose me. So that's the focus for the week. Excuse me. Excuse me a minute. I got a tickle. Sorry about that. Okay, so nobody's wanting to speak yet. All right. I have a few questions that came in this week. One over the email coach@appliedspirituality.com. This one comes from Sarah in Seattle. She says, I had a glimpse this week into how limited my thinking has become, and it scared me. I work for a major hospital, and they are moving offices from one part of my city to another. The move itself is a matter of 20 miles, but for me, it will make my commute to work nearly 45 miles, which will be a lot of time, especially in heavy weather and traffic. I have a daughter in high school. I was sharing this upcoming move with someone, and they posed the question to me, why didn't I just move closer to the job? I had not even considered this as a possibility. It never entered my mind to move. I just thought that I had to do it harder, travel more, etc. I'm not on board with moving yet. But what I'm addressing in my question to you is, how scary is it that I never even considered moving 30 miles away? I know my daughter will probably have negative things to say about moving her in high school as well. But it's the bigger realization here, which are all the possibilities that I never considered. So I think I'm trapped. Okay, wow, Sarah, good girl that you even saw it. You know what? You just had a big cosmic goose, and you paid attention. I mean, that's how we evolve. This is our inner being, our non-physical friends, you know, shouting at us, yakking at us, and hitting us upside the head saying, you know, there's more, there's more, there's always more. And so I don't think that, you know, you need to, like, beat yourself up over this. I just think it's a really critical choice point for you to become more aware. And maybe one of the operating questions you want to ask yourself all the time for at least 3 or 4 weeks is, what am I missing here? What other choices might I have? What else, what more is there for me? That might just be a page or two to do every day in your journal, morning and evening, you know, as you sort of recount to yourself the things you've done during the day, and you can say to yourself, what more is there for me to see here? What more is there for me to experience? What possibilities exist that I'm not? Because there are infinite possibilities. In your situation, there's a zillion. But I think what you're realizing is that your life has gotten small, and that you've limited yourself in so many ways, and you're onto a new thought that, oh my gosh, there's infinite possibilities, and it's exciting. So I wouldn't take it as bad. I'd take it as, this is exciting. I've got a brand new thought. I'm always jazzed when I get a brand new thought. It's like, holy Toledo, I got something to chew on and run with, and so do you. And as far as your daughter goes, why would you assume that she's going to give you negative stuff about this? You lined it up first in your beingness. You said yourself you're not on board yet with the possibility of moving 30 miles away. Well, chew on that. Get yourself into alignment with moving 30 miles away or whatever it is. look into new neighborhoods, and I mean, go shopping for a new life. Try it on. Play with it in your mind. And when you feel lined up with what it is you want and you feel really good about it, then bring her into the picture with all these good feelings. Maybe she would be happy for a new experience. You know, everybody talks about how they grew up. You know, I moved a lot, so I had lots of different experiences. Other people have lived in one place all their lives. There's no right way or wrong way to do a life. There just simply isn't. They are all experiences, and everything you choose, you get to choose to change it at any given time. So you can choose to move to another state. You can choose to do work in a hospital in the UK. I mean, there is no limit on what you could choose to do or the adventure you could give yourself and your daughter. So maybe it's something you want to talk to her about and get her feedback. But do it once you're in alignment with change and expansion. You first get in alignment with that and the adventure of something new and it feeling good. And from there, that's a positive launch pad. So, all right, thanks for the question, Sarah. There's another question here. This is from Andrew. He doesn't say where he is. He says, I have a question about being sleepy. I get up in the morning and I'm raring to go. I do my daily exercise and my self-talk as I'm going along, and then I start work as I work at home. But around noon, I am so tired, but even more, I'm sleepy. I have to put my head down and take a rest. I fight that because I usually don't get my momentum back, and then I virtually lose the rest of the day and don't get any more work done. Can you help? Okay, well, thank you for the question. I'm going to just throw some thoughts out there. It sounds to me that like there's a lot of shoulds and oughts going on. In other words, a lot of resistance. So make sure you come back next week because we're going to talk about resistance. This is probably good timing. The first thing I want you to do is embrace your guidance, and your guidance is negative emotion. Your guidance isn't always positive emotion. It's the full range of your emotions. It is also indicators in your body. So on an emotional level, you have a feeling. Let's say if you get mad or sad or angry or depressed, okay, that's your emotional guidance system. But those demonstrations that actually manifest in your physical body are also your internal guidance system as well. So it doesn't really matter when it finally gets your attention. If you're not paying attention to your emotion, to your feeling, then it'll get bigger and take the next phase, which will have a demonstration in your physical body. So I'm going to take that to that level and say that you're getting sleepy is actually your emotional guidance system telling you you're having a resistant thought, okay? So it sounds to me like you've got, like I said, a lot of shoulds and oughts going on. But it's okay because it's also an indicator that you're a very strong wanter. I mean, you have a big desire. So the desire is to, I don't know, you can fill in the blank, but I'm imagining since your question is around work and you're working at home, that you have a strong desire to succeed. So I want you to begin to use every nuance, every negative emotion and any small negative feeling in your body and appreciate them as indicators of where your human mind vibration is compared to where your God mind is. So where your resistant feeling or beliefs are. What you need to do is pay attention to the feeling of sleepy and drowsy. and appreciate it. So what would that be? You know, so that this is the indicator, and you're the one that's going to have to sort of be the sleuth on this one. But this is where you're going to be paying attention, and because it's chronic. What you're describing is this is chronic. This is going on every day. So to any of you who are listening who have a chronic condition, then it's something you do every day. And so it might not be so obvious to you. It's kind of like setting an alarm clock so that you wake up. That's your emotional guidance system. So you set your alarm clock, but you get so inured to it that you don't hear it anymore. That's like you're too close to the forest to see the trees. Like it's become so automatic in you to ignore it that you're not paying any attention to it anymore. So the physical manifestation now escalated the emotional manifestation to something bigger so that you can see it. So good. So pay attention to it. Ask yourself lots of questions. What have I been thinking? What have I been feeling? What have I been working on? What is my belief? So in your case, you know, maybe what time does it happen? When does it start in your routine? Is it happening, you know, after your daily exercise and your self-talk, and then you start into something? What's going on? What's going on in there? Is there some part of you that doesn't know what to do next? Or you're going to have to, this is where you start digging and start asking yourself some questions and use your journal. But I'm guessing here that there's stuff around work, and if I extend that just a little bit, it's probably about money or success or worthiness. So could there be a belief in there that's saying, I have to work harder, I have to make more money, I have to work harder to make more money, I have to earn my success? I'm just throwing some things out here. Because there will always be more work to do. In fact, there will always be more work to do than you have time to do it. But you can start telling yourself a new story. And this is changing that set point, changing that limiting belief. And the new story you're telling yourself is about being a vibrational being. And vibrational beings leverage the power of the universe. And you can allow in help. You can visualize your projects completed. You can tell the story of your success. What you want to leave out is any detail that gets too detailed that makes you start to feel uncomfortable. If you look at the processes handout that's on the downloads page, there's one about visioning where you go in and you vision something that you want or need or want to experience or how you want to feel, only for as long as it feels good, and then you get out. You jump in and jump out. You jump in and you jump out. Because there's a part of you that feels, it feels to me, I'm feeling this part of it as I'm saying it to you, part of it that feels to me that the workload feels so big to some part of you that they feel like they can't get it done, and so they just have to get to sleep. They just have to sleep through it. It's sort of the like a vibrational couch potato. It doesn't feel worthy, doesn't feel up to it, doesn't feel like it can do it. So there's a lot of ways to approach it. So start dialoguing, and then just start telling the new story. And the new story is you are worthy. You are God itself having a physical experience, your source energy itself. Go back and review all those exercises that are in the I Am Enough for sequences of coaching calls. And stop ignoring this part of you that's trying to get your attention. So give that some concerted effort over the next few weeks. And you might start in your early morning dialogues. And then just before you break for lunch, have another discussion. Allow it to unfold. Don't lose patience with that part of yourself. Just keep listening to it. Keep telling the new story, but expect it to move on. We're going to, in weeks to come, do some release techniques too, so you can have some processes to release techniques to add to the processes. But I don't want you to start looking at these parts of yourself that hold these limiting beliefs, because this part of yourself too that doesn't want to move so fast also serves a purpose. And so you get to decide from being the adult, what's the balance here? Where's the balance point? Do you want to take a break in the middle of the day and go for a walk? Maybe you want to do your break in the middle of the day. Maybe you want to get out of the routine. What part of the routine serves you? What part of the routine doesn't serve you anymore? There is value into doing things slowly. There is value in being present for the things. I just suggest that this part of you thinks that there's something moving too fast or it's too much. And so you need to have a look at that and come to your own conclusions about that. But give yourself a better story and comfort that part of you. Okay. The last question I have is from Colleen here in Medina. Colleen writes, I'm recovering from a divorce about a year and a half ago. It was my second. I was married at a young age. I had two boys, and very quickly he left, so I raised the boys myself. It was grand. We were the three musketeers. We had a great time. I really never entertained the thought of marrying again, but I did some 25 years later. It was the perfect courtship. We seemed to have a lot in common. Yet by the third month of the marriage, I knew I'd made a big mistake, but I stayed 5 years. Now I think forget the whole thing about marriage. I don't need to be married. But when I say that to myself, there's something in it that doesn't feel right or true. I'd like to learn from this and not take any, quote, wounds forward. Yet I feel scared and stuck. Can you comment on this? Well, Colleen, good on you for feeling the discomfort in your statement and for sharing your question with us. When you say to yourself, I don't need to be married, I think that there's more to that statement. What's happening when you feel that niggle is that there's a distance between your God mind and your human mind. And I wouldn't say that your God mind thinks you have to be married. Your human mind might think that. But more, I think I would take the liberty here to expand your sentence to say something more like, I don't need love or intimacy. And that would be the big niggle and what wouldn't feel correct. And if you feel the accord or discord in that, it's probably more on target where the word marriage is. So, first of all, everyone needs and wants love and intimacy because that's who we really are. We're love itself. So the rest of it, how we express that, is all up for individual choice and decision. So do you need to be married? Of course not. I also suspect that the bigger issue here is really your being able to trust your own guidance system. What I hear you asking yourself is, how did this happen? How could I have let this happen? So I have a friend that used to say, how could this have been prevented? And I just want you to start laughing, all of you, start laughing at yourselves, because it's just funny. All of us, we're just cartoons. Anyway, how did you let that happen? Only you could answer that. But I also don't want you to think you made a mistake, because you didn't. But I also don't think that an in-depth digging around is required. So let me suggest this to you. Did you not have warning bells or some sort of niggle of intuition or some instance where you had a hesitant feeling within you in your courtship? And I'm betting 100% that you did. But for some reason, your human mind overrode what you knew. So you had flags, you had things that came up, but somehow the still small voice lost over the shouting of your ego and in some limiting the belief. So what you're feeling right now is you want to reclaim your trust in yourself. So the first thing I would do would be to work on that, is restoring my own trust in myself. And remember the things that were the flags to you that you experienced with this person. And let yourself fully remember them. And don't remember them like you made a mistake. Just remember them. Ah, that was a flag. That was a signal. That was an experience. That was a warning. Because those are the things that you overrode. So what I'm trying to get you to do is know that your internal guidance system is working absolutely perfectly. So you can trust it. Now, the only thing is to pay attention to it. So, because what I want you to do is to get back that sense of your absolute trust in your own guidance system. You did know, you chose to override it. Then I'd ask myself, who in my human mind group of gals talked us into moving forward and why? So who was it and what was her limiting belief? So I'll throw some out. I just did some math, so maybe some of them were I'm getting older and I should take what I can get, or there won't be that many more opportunities. I'm not that desirable. Whatever it is, poke around and see if you can get one of your girls to tell you what the limiting belief is and why you didn't listen. Because we do get to have what we want. Where you want to get to is to be open to love and trusting yourself to allow it and receive it using your internal guidance system. Do you have to do marriage in the traditional way? Of course not. Do you have to have him live with you? No. But all these things are choices that indicate how comfortable you are with your alignment with yourself, and that's the issue of trust. Because the more you trust your own ability to be in alignment with yourself, the less it matters to you if someone is living in your space or not, because you know you can always be in alignment with yourself. So really, that's at the heart of this whole thing. Can I trust myself to be in alignment with myself, no matter who I'm with or how I'm with them? So I also recommend that you start envisioning what you really want in a relationship. Essentially, how does it feel when you're with this person? How does it feel when they're in the house? How does the living arrangement feel? Play with it. Try on different scenarios. Keep imagining. Jump into a scenario. Let it feel good for a while, then jump out. Use the processes. At the base of this is, and for all of us really, in any situation, it's always about having confidence in your own ability to get back into alignment with yourself. All right, so that's all I have for tonight. Does anyone have any questions or comments about anything? Just use *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, so remember, the focus for this week is to become aware that you have the choice at every moment to do something differently, to expand into the desire you already have become, to grow yourself, to grow your consciousness. So just beware, every now moment is a new choice moment, and I could do it differently. All right, thank you so much for being with me tonight. My non-physical friends have reminded me to tell you that you have nothing to fear, you have nothing to worry about, and you are loved beyond measure. All right, thanks for being with me tonight, you guys, and I look forward to speaking with you next Sunday. All right, thanks for being here. Good night.